Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the show. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host returning to the program here on a Thursday, James Salinas, the 2015 Super Contest winner. James Salinas, how are you?
Pritch, my man, how are you? What was it, the 1990 National Championship winner? Was it 90 or 91?
1990. Yeah, we were just talking about that. I actually signed a card for Sean, our audio engineer in here. So that was a great moment for me, to be honest with you. So I love doing stuff like that, too. So, I mean, it's awesome to have cards like that to remember those times, right? And, you know, celebrate when things were good.
Well, and wasn't it back-to-back? Didn't you guys face the Irish in the Orange Bowl the year before, lost that game, and then came back and beat them in the national championship game?
Right? Yeah, you brought that one up. Yeah, we did. We did. So, we went undefeated my junior year and then lost to Notre Dame, and then we went on a revenge tour in 1990 and got back with Notre Dame and overcame the Rocket on that punt return to win a national title. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good times right there, James. And, you know, speaking of good times, Major League Baseball has been crazy to start the season. I mean, we've had two no-hitters, just shy of perfect games because of hitters not moving out the way, if you ask me. And then also the overs have been cashing. And then on top of that, the dogs have been friendly to bettors too. So where are you at 2 weeks into the season with Major League Baseball?
Well, you said he didn't move out of the way. I don't know. Should he have moved out of the way? I mean, you think about it from a competitive standpoint, right? From a competitor, right? The last thing you want to be, if you're whatever opponent, right? If you're facing a perfect game, especially that late in the game, like, you don't want to go down that way. That's definitely, you're absolutely, we saw it on the hustle play. I forget who it was that grounded out and a race to the bag. I mean, you saw the effort there. You don't want to have either a no-hitter or, in that case, a perfect game go against you. So, debatable for sure, but I think as a competitor, yeah, as your opponent, you don't want to, if that's it, you know, get it over the plate, then don't hit me in the foot. I'm staying in the box, and you know, we'll call that good. But yeah, just we're 2 weeks in now to the
just
season.
Just 2 weeks, yeah, no, right?
Season. I know, and that's what's it. We see, I mean, baseball has such a full schedule on basically a daily basis, so it feels more just because there's so much baseball. And the fact that, just like today, what do we have, 5-6 games start this morning, or at least out here, they started very early, a lot of early starts, and a lot more day games, at least early in the season. I think that's kind of cool, too, that we've having more day. That's what I grew up with. I remember the World Series being played during the afternoon and having the old transistor radio sitting in the back of the classroom and in high school listening to Vin Scully or whomever else on the call. But I think that's what, with the day games and getting back into baseball, it's only 2 weeks in, and usually a lot of times, Pritch, the pitching is ahead of the hitting. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen that to a certain extent with the starters and a lot of strikeouts.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of strikeouts going through the league. And it's just, I think it's the approach at the plate, right? These guys are just, it's a different age now. You got a lot of bombers up there, and they're not up there to work counts, get ahead of the hitter, hit behind runners, and keep your hands inside. Like, you're not trying to hit the ball the other way. You are trying to pull the ball and put it over the fence or drive it in the alleys. And so it's just a different approach now. And now there's not as much, when you strike out, it doesn't carry kind of the same weight as it did kind of from a pride standpoint or a factor for these guys. Like, yeah, it's part of the game now with striking out. And I know that baseball is very challenging. It's very humbling, in my opinion, right? It's the only sport that you can fail 7 out of 10 times and still be considered successful when you're hitting 300. And now in this day and age, you're hitting 300. You're getting a max contract. Let's sign up Tatis and everybody else that hits 300. Let's get them locked in for the next dozen years. So I tread lightly with baseball. And we talked about this the other day, trying to pick and choose spots. Maybe whether it's first five early, I'm trying to stay away from bullpen. I think bullpens have been killer throughout the last number of years, and definitely through this year too. Tread lightly, find some first five potential plays and/or maybe player props, strikeout props, out props. A lot of them going towards the pitching and the lineups that they're facing, and some of these weaker lineups. So tread lightly, good spots here or there. That's what we try to dig into at least early in the season.
See, I knew you were astute that way. That's why I asked you that question, because I know observations. I mean, that's so key for betting baseball. And so for me, I mean, I don't want to get caught up in all the excitement, because there's a lot of excitement. Like Like I mentioned, we had 17 games the other day and 12 overs. You know, underdogs. That's been a pretty strong trend and friendly to bettors. But, you know, I don't want to get caught up in that yet because it's only been 2 weeks. And so I want to gather the information that you just laid out right there in terms of how to approach this marathon of a season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and we've talked about it too. I tend to be, and I think we've done enough programs over these, what, 6, 7, 8 months now to know that I tend to definitely lean towards the underdog side when playing a lot of these sports and baseball. Baseball's no exception either. But that would require you to play the full game.
Okay.
Right? If you're looking at the underdogs, and not that it requires you to play, you could get underdogs in the first five as well. And we've talked about finding a few of those too. But, you know, a lot of times some of these pitchers can get overvalued, but and these numbers are really big, right? And that's why I tend to look at nobody goes 162-0 and nobody's going 0-162. So we know teams are going to win and you're going to lose. Even if you're a horrible team and you lose 100 games, Pritch, you still won 62 and you were probably a pretty sizable dog. If you're that bad of a team, you were probably a pretty sizable dog in most a lot of those games that you pulled out at 62 wins, and most teams don't lose 100. So yeah, it makes sense over the long term, the strategy being to look for dogs and maybe digging down deeper down the lineup, down the pitching rotations, as opposed to going against some of these aces, because it just feels like there's just not many aces out there nowadays, and most teams are pretty thin on the starting rotation. So you can find some winners in there or find some good edges if you look past those the first ace and or the first couple guys on that rotation.
Okay, let's get some updated scores here. Braves Marlins 5-4 in the top of the ninth. The Braves on top right there. That matchup, that series living up to its billing. Padres Pirates, bottom of the seventh. The Padres on the road leading 8-3. Red Sox kind of cooling off to the Twins, 3-0 deficit right now in the bottom of the sixth inning. The fourth right now, the top of the fourth, the White Sox on top of the Cleveland Indians, 1-0. Mariners prevailed over the Orioles. They got the next game coming up pretty soon. So, James, any games in progress that you have a play on or any observations from you?
No, I was late to the party with Lance. You know where I'm at with Lance. Right. I got a really nice ticket, long shot to win the AL Cy Young, but got off to a tremendous start, or at least the last game, right, a complete game. And we don't see that a whole lot either, unless you're going for the no-hitter or the complete game like Carlos Rodon did last night. But Lance dealing again. He's already got six Ks. He's got a runner on first now, but through three innings, already has six Ks. And this is a guy that I like. I kind of tend to look for those pitchers that aren't afraid to challenge hitters, and they're not afraid to come inside. So many of these pitchers now just nibble and with slider away, change away, a lot of secondary pitches away, away, away. Afraid to come inside and afraid to challenge hitters upstairs. Lance Lynn is not one of those guys, but right now, White Sox, like you said, up 1-0, top of four. I did not play him, but I'd love to try to find pitchers exactly the caliber. Now, there's not a lot of players or pitchers the caliber of Lance Lynn's, especially the aggressiveness that we see with him, but trying to find pitchers that have that approach up there on the mound.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of comes into play too with La Russa. Like Rodon completing that game, perfect game almost, but certainly the no-hitter. And then Lance, like you talked about, you know, the philosophy from him as manager now. So if you're back in a White Sox, you could probably rely on some of these pitchers going deep into the inning situations and maybe La Russa giving them a little bit more room here.
Yeah, we tapped into that last time we were on the program, right? Mm-hmm. Looking not so much with La Russa, but yeah, La Russa being an old school manager, right? He was back in the White Sox back in the late 70s, early 80s, right? And been around the baseball game, you know, the game of baseball forever. And we know analytics has really changed kind of the style of how games are approached, how they're managed, how they're played. But so I think he's working himself into that too, but he knows he's got a horse up on the mound, whether it's Lynn or Lynn going every other, you know, going every 5 days, or in a case where Rodon, who's bitching well, he reads in, he knows their deal, and he's dialed in with it. He's going to extend them too. And then the other piece with that is we can find angles where that's the beauty of, we're not just betting these games either 9 innings or 5 innings. Plenty of these kind of, in a sense, props, where we talked about that, finding some props the other day where it was the bullpens were taxed, and the bullpens in a case like Tampa, right? We were with a couple games last on Monday where we know those bullpens going in for those couple teams were really taxed through that weekend, whether it be through injuries, their starters got rolled up on, whatever it might have been, and knew that these starters have the capability to go deeper into the game. And I think in this case here, in those some of those cases, their managers really needed them to eat some innings and would let them get work themselves out of a jam and not afraid to give up a few runs and have to rush to the bullpen. So definitely things to read into, not only with that today's start, but look at the last handful of days. How have they performed? How deep have they gone into the pen? Because I think we can find angles with player props, in particular for pitchers, to whether it's strikeouts and or eating the outs. And at least with BetMGM, it's outs. So looking at 18 outs, you know they got to get 16 and or go 6 1/3 inning. Can they get to 7 innings? Those are the kind of things that we can dig into as well.
Outstanding information, James Salinas. I mean, Lance Lynn in particular, 6'5", 270. That's 60 feet away from you as a hitter. That's incredibly intimidating, if you ask me. How about the Rangers and the Rays? I mean, this game's going to have first pitch coming up here. You have Tampa Bay as a favorite, minus 180. The total is 8 in this game.
Yeah, I was digging into that one a little bit and looking at, you know, this would be, again, one of those first five. Now, this is where the Rays bullpen hasn't been taxed, right? They rode the arm that on over the weekend against that Yankees series. Archer went down. He just went on I'll still call it the DL. I'm old school, the disabled list. I know it's called the injured list, whatever it is now. But he went on the DL. He was banged. He pulled his forearm. So they really had to dig into the pitchers early in that, Gary, and really went into the bullpen early into that weekend series. So Glasnow really was able to go in on Monday and eat up a lot of innings. And now I think the Rays bullpen here over the last couple of days, they lost a couple of games of the Rangers. Rangers finally found their bats. They hadn't scored a run for 22 innings till they have finally breaking out the bats and being able to put some runs on the board the last two games. Here I was kind of looking at the pitching matchups, and it's Lyles against Rich Hill. Rich, how long has Rich Hill been around? He's been around as long as La Russa feels like. Right? I mean, Rich Hill's been around a long, and he's had a lot of injuries too. So I think there's going to be kind of a short hook today for Hill. If he does get into some issues, they may go to the bullpen. But all I could look at here was, I know the Rangers have struggled to score outside of the last two games, but looking at potentially playing this first five and looking at the over in the first five, because I think Rich Hill, I think neither of these guys are going to challenge anybody. Definitely Lyles. He tries to live outside the black and just junk. I think with these lineups here, I think both teams should be able to find their way to put some runs on the board. And I was looking at the over in the first five at 4.5. It looks like it's juiced a little bit towards the over as well at $1.20, but I'd be willing to risk that here. I don't like either of these pitchers, so not a good matchup on the mound. So I think I would look at the over there in the first five.
Okay, then you have the Colorado Rockies and the Dodgers again. So you look at the Rockies, of course, at home, Coors Field. They get the wins. They score runs at the Giants L, at the Giants L, at the Giants L, at the Dodgers L. LLL when they're on the road here. It's a big number for the Dodgers, minus 270, 7.5 is the total, James. But first five situation, any backing for the Rockies here in this matchup?
No back. We talked about right before they went on their trip, right? I want to see those splits from being at home here in Coors Field to going out on the road. And yeah, they've lost five straight on this West Coast trip. They close out tonight playing against the Dodgers. And it's been unfortunate for them. They played half their games have basically been played against the Dodgers, but you know, they're not putting any runs across the board. They're not, they can't score. They've scored what have they scored? Six. They scored six runs in those five losses on the road. Just a struggle to piece together because they're not going to be driving the ball out of those parks. San Francisco, very pitcher-friendly ballpark. Same thing in Chavez Ravine with Dodger Stadium, very pitcher-friendly ballpark. And then going up against good pitchers, too, is going to make it a challenge where you're not going to hit the ball over the fence. You're not going to have the thin air there to assist you. You're going to have to string together hits, and that's where they're struggling here. So it's still a big number. I mean, looking at this, who's it's Urias that's throwing today. He pitched very well against the Rocks the first time out here in Coors Field, and it's Gomber. He's the one that's back on the hill for the Rockies again. I might be looking at a team total here. I'm digging around for it now with the Dodgers. I think with Austin Gomber, he's only given up just two hits And his first 9 1/3 innings as a Rocky came over from St. Louis trade with Arenado. Mm-hmm. But it's because he can't find the strike zone. Here's another pitcher nibbling, afraid to throw strikes and challenge hitters. He's walked 11 batters. So, yeah, he's only given up 2 hits in 9 innings. That's because he's not throwing anything for them to hit. So they have the discipline to lay off, right? And I think just continue to get himself in jam. So I think I would be looking more so team total here, Pritch, with the Dodgers. But I kind of, one of the things when these are later starts, I want to make sure I know who's going to be in that lineup, because a lot of these games on a Thursday, either it's Sunday and or Thursday or Wednesday, but in this case Thursday, it's getaway day, right? Teams are traveling, you're getting a new opponent, you may have a different lineup going out there. So I'd be leaning that way with the Dodgers team total over, but I want to see who's in that lineup. That's not going to be released for a bit because it is such a late start on the West Coast.
Yeah, expected lineups right now only, James, you know, you got the usual suspects for the Dodgers, right? Mookie, Seager, Turner. I mean, expected lineup, of course.
Well, but and I think, did we learn a lesson yesterday? If you were wanting to fire on the Astros early,
happened
with their lineup, right? Yeah. Exactly. So still in age of COVID too. So not only injuries, but still in the age of the hopefully getting on the tail end of this pandemic, but still it's out there. It is not gone, and obviously impacted the Astros. So if you jumped on the Astros early, you probably regretted that, waiting to see who was actually in the lineup and available.
Outstanding point. Absolutely. Be patient. There's no need to rush into any situation out there, as a sport's better. Here's a situation I want Calipari to pay attention to. You know, Coach Cal, I'm not in the business of winning championships, playing basketball. I got all my one and dones. Well, how about Alabama? They win championships and produce number one draft choices. That's coming up next. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have that state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. James, this particular school stands out amongst everybody else when it comes to the University of Alabama with their football program. They stand out so much that BetMGM has a prop that you can bet. So here you go. The 2021 NFL Draft Alabama props. Players drafted in the first round, the over, the total is 5.5. The over is -165. The under is plus money at 130. Total players drafted, the total is 11.5. The over -120. The under -110. You take a shot at these?
Absolutely. I think when you're talking about Alabama, I mean, you got to consider, why is that, right? Is this just a feeder system? And so are these, how pro ready are these players coming out of Alabama? Right. And is that something that these GMs are thinking about, right? Because of the coaching and the development that they're getting with Nick Saban and his team, right? That they are coming in and ready to step in and start competing in the National Football League right away, especially in the first round, right? Your first round draft picks, right, Pritch, aren't they expected to, you're expected to come in and not only start, but also make an impact as a first round player. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just such coveted draft picks now. And when you're thinking about the pedigree of what Alabama has done over, you know, since Nick Saban has been there for so long, how they've come in and how ready they've been to step in and perform and compete at the NFL level, pro pro ready. I mean, how do you say I like the under here? And especially if you're looking at first round at 5.5. I mean, anytime that's why it's juiced that way, right? You said it's $1.65. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like there's no brainers out here. Maybe the one would be, all right, does Christian Barrymore on the D end, does he get drafted in the first round? I suspect he probably does. And if that's the case, with Najee Harris, Patrick Surtain, with Waddle and Smith out at the wideouts, you know they're going to go first round. And Mac Jones, right? So, I mean, there's the five. Mm-hmm. Is Barrymore the last one for six? I would suspect yes.
Okay, so here's the context. In the 2020 NFL draft, Alabama produced 9 draft choices here. And we're talking about first round, second round, right? It's very rare you get past second round and third round for Alabama players. So just think about that. In 2019 draft, they produced 10 players in similar fashion all throughout the first round, second round. You got into the fifth round, even the sixth round for Alabama players there, total Alabama players drafted. In 2018, James, they had 12 players get drafted. Yeah, it's been incredible the last 3 years, the amount of players being drafted into the National Football League from Alabama. You factor in, too, Saban, the fact that, you know, as a GM in the National Football League, you're not going to have access to the players like you typically will. So you have to rely on coaching information. And I think Saban is respected enough inside the NFL that, look, if I can call up Saban and get a thorough evaluation of a player, then I'm going to count on that. And I think you're seeing that as well.
Yeah, and running pro schemes.
Too, right.
Right, especially offensively, running this pro scheme, like, yes, they've done a lot, you know, as far as the NFL is concerned. They've already, thanks Saban and Alabama, you've already recruited stud athletes here, and then you've developed them, and you've taught them, and you've prepared them based on the pro schemes that you're running, too. So it's immediate impact and hitting here. So looking at, you talked about, and makes total sense, right, mm-hmm. what points you were making here. So looking at total players drafted over 11.5, I think for me, I'd have to dig a little bit deeper into, I mean, now you're really having to do some homework, digging in not only their complete roster, who's available to go into the draft, and then looking through the list of, is it offense, is it defense? I just think more so, for me, at least just looking at this right here for the first round with Christian Barrymore at the defensive end, I think that's the one, is that one going in the first round or not? And if you have a question mark and you need a defensive end, you need somebody on that line that's pro ready to go, why wouldn't you do that? So again, I can't make a case to say, even though it's juice plus 130 and I'm the dog guy, I like getting that plus money, not in this case here. I think it's going to be those six players, so I'd be betting the over.
Yeah, see, Cal, you can't do it. You know, you don't have to proclaim you're just not in the business. You can win a national championship here and there. Go do it. Nick Saban coming up next on the program. Lou Finicaro, he's going to help us out with UFC Fight Night come up this weekend. That's next. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete odds and analysis of every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today, and always pleased to bring onto the program Lou Finicaro. He's a contributor to Point Spread Weekly. Lou, how are you?
I'm doing great this afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for making some time for fisticuffs. I look forward to sharing some insight with you.
We look forward to your insight, indeed, for sure. So we got this fight, Whitaker and Gastelum. Gastelum is a dog here. I'm trying to determine who's the striker in this one and who's going to be the striker in this one, and what should we expect from this fight?
Well, technically, the more trained background fighter striker is Whitaker. That said, Gastelum from Yuma, Arizona, comes up with a really strong foundation in wrestling, Hispanic background, Mexican background. So as a fighter, we know that he's tougher than he can be, has a granite chin, and he has power in his hands. Now, both these guys, Pritch, spent some time at 170 and had so much trouble making the cut, they had to move to 85 and have found great success at 85. Both fought Adesanya and lost. Mm-hmm. Whitaker's won since, and Gastelum's won once and lost twice. And so this is a fight that was originally scheduled for 2019. When the fight was scheduled then, the line was about the same. And I think then, these two fighters were more on par than they are now. I think the last three fights for each has made more separation. And I tend to regard Whitaker as a better than minus 250 favorite that he is, and think that he has advantage in this fight. I would almost go as far as to saying that I also look at the total in the fight at 4.5, and I tend to lean either under the 4.5 rounds, or if you can find the prop, the fight does not go the decision, you can get that too. Fight does not go the decision is even money. Under 4.5, you can get plus 125 or so, depending where you shop. But I tend to think this is going to be Whitaker's night.
Perfect. I love it. Yeah. Love it, Lou. So let's move down the card. Looking at Jeremy Stephens taking on Dracar Close. Now, it's Stephens is a small favorite. It's basically a pick 'em. 120 is the favorite in towards Jeremy Stephens. So basically, in a sense, a pick 'em fight. Who are you picking here?
Yeah, this is going to be a great fight, and it's going to test one man's IQ and the other man's stamina. Stevens is the veteran at 34 that has more mileage on his body than 34 years of age based on what he's gone through, but everything he's gone through since 2013 has been at the featherweight division, 145. He steps up for this fight to fight a legit 155er in Dracar Close. Close is walks around at a buck 82, buck 85, and I know that because I watch him train here in Phoenix. He's a kid that at a buck 80 he knocks everybody out in the octagon and gets into, but when he cuts the weight at 155, he loses a little of that power. So the perfect elixir for Close is a blown up Stevens that's going to be maybe a little undersized in the fight. While Stevens is desperate, I think Close's recent body of work makes more sense to me, and Close as a slight underdog is a strong position for me this week.
We're speaking with Lou Finicaro, Point Spread Weekly contributor. He's helping us out with UFC Fight Night coming up this weekend. Okay, Lou, maybe a sensitive question, but I'm north of 50, and I know how I feel after 10 years in the National Football League playing football. How is Orlovsky feeling after this many fights, and this guy is in his 40s, a heavyweight fight? We can't back the dog, or can we? Sherman is plus 110 out here.
Yeah, going to be a great fight. Big heavies. Arlovsky is going to have to try and manage this thing and not get caught. If he can turn it into a fight that goes to the distance, he's got a coin flip shot based on the fact that most of the UFC judges are completely inept. Besides that, it's Chase Sterling, I think, that has a recent body of work. He got to the UFC, had to leave, earn his way back. He's younger, way younger, has some power. And yeah, if a gun to my head, I'm looking at Sherman on fight night.
So, Lou, let's move down to the prelims. Let's move down the card. What are you looking at for the full body? Who you got going? I think you have a play with Fabinski versus Mearshart. Something that. So, what can you tell us about that fight?
Yeah, this is a fight where Mearshart enters after two losses, and they both, one was a hard-earned loss against Heinisch, and then his last one, he fought this young phenom, Shimaev, and I got to admit, I was on Mearshart. I liked his size. I liked his experience. He got knocked out in 20 seconds. So he comes in desperate, scared, and I like that. Fabinski comes in primarily a guy that he's open, or he can be exposed by grapplers. Mearshart's a grappler. He's an underdog. We're on Mearshart.
Lou, also, you know, we got UFC 261 coming up and next week. We'll get more in depth with you. I'm hoping we'll have time for that with you. Now that we have you now, early thoughts on what that card could present with a number of title fights.
The two title fights with the ladies are going to be compelling and awesome. The main event with Usman and Masvidal, I'm of the opinion that Masvidal is Rasputin and he's all fake. And Usman is going to completely dominate him in this fight. And then we won't have to hear about Gucci robes and jet airplanes out of Masvidal anymore.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I'm sorry to hide my real feelings so well.
You know what?
Don't sugarcoat it, Lou. Tell us how you feel.
Exactly. You know, don't hide anything. Bring it. We love it. As we love you having you on the program, we can't wait for the fight card this weekend and certainly the fight card coming up next week, UFC 261. Lou, enjoy the fights. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys. Good luck, everyone.
Good luck to you as well. Lou is he does not going to hold back, right? I mean, it's fisticuffs, like you mentioned. So we look forward to that.
Absolutely. That's why we bring him on as sharp as it gets. So I'm always following him. Anytime we're talking about UFC and any of these fight nights, I'm always leaning to find and lean towards where he's going because it brings great insight. Thanks, Lou, for coming down.
Yeah, Orlovsky, over 40, still in the octagon, James. Yep. And I mean, I guess if you can fight, I mean, you get after it, you mix it up, and if you love it, you love it. So you cannot be denied. We'll see what happens in that fight. Come up next, we're going to turn our attention to the association. Tread lightly, only 4 games on schedule. We'll break down those games. Come up next. We all love home runs in Major League Baseball, especially if you are a new BetMGM customer. Turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSIN100, and if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Dodgers or Rockies, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan, disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETSOFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text that red line, 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. And James, the NBA, you look at the lines, and then I look at injuries or possible resting that could take place too. So I think we have that a little bit on the games on the schedule, the Bucks and the Hawks. Both these teams are in the playoffs. Would you bet this game? You have the Bucks laying 4 on the road. 230 is the total.
Well, and you not only mentioned the injuries with the players, but also the schedule mm-hmm. with these teams and how right now we're grinding down towards the end of the regular season. And we knew the second half of the season was going to produce a lot of back-to-backs. It was going to be a very condensed second half of the season post All-Star break. And I just look at the Bucks right now. Now, number one, Giannis, don't know if Giannis is going to play another, you know, he's been in and out game time decision tonight, mm-hmm. but look at the Bucks schedule, Pritch. And these are where it's like, I want to go against the Bucks. Just looking at this has just been a killer schedule. Last 17 days, they played 9 out of 10 games, 2 separate road trips, 9 out of 10 games on the road. This is the final game, the final 10th game of the last 17 days on the road. So 9 out of 10 on the road with 2 separate trips. This just feels like a really road-weary team. So I'd love to totally back the Hawks here, but then I look at the injury list for starters. Now, we can look at the schedule, too. This is going to be the 5th game in the last 7 days for the Hawks, so pretty grind right there this past week. But then I just jump right to the injury piece here, and it's Colin. Then who's out? John Collins been out. Chris Dunn been out. DeAndre Hunter had surgery midseason. Back out, came back for a couple games. Now he's out. Maybe rushed it back too soon. Cam Reddish is out. Tony Snell, Trey Young, questionable game time decision with the calf. He hasn't played for the last few days. Why would they plug him in there? I know they're sitting in the fourth seed. I don't think seeding right now is all that important for these teams, Pritch. It's more so outside of if you're on the outside of the playoff bubble trying to get into one of those seeds, like the ninth or the tenth seed, then it's probably more impactful. But as far as seeding goes, it just doesn't seem like you want to be healthy rolling into the playoffs. So whether you're the four seed, the five seed, or the sixth seed, or even the three seed, really it's how healthy you are as going into those seeding positions, as opposed to we need a certain seed to roll in here. So a game like this, I wanted to back at the Hawks, but still looking at this injury report based on all the issues that they're having, I can't play this game.
You know, and I was going to ask you, is it worth it? Because, I mean, you could cap the benches here if you want to, but then why would you want to do that too? I mean, you can just go ahead and pass on a game, right?
Well, and that's the hard part about capping the benches. And not only with teams that are banged up with Atlanta, at least we know that those players have been out for a while. A number of those players for the Hawks, for instance, haven't played. So, yeah, the bench players have been put into more starting roles and playing more together out there. So maybe that helps because now they're starting to build some chemistry, knowing who's going to be out there to run certain sets, who's going to facilitate that normally doesn't because that hasn't been their role as a bench player, now thrust into a starting position. But I mean, if you really want to play that, I don't for starters, but if you really did, I think you got to really look at the in-game piece and sometimes maybe looking at the total. That total is going up. It opened at 228 up to 230, but the number's kicking down. I think with the Bucks, they're assuming that no Giannis here, and maybe folks are looking at that schedule too, man. 9 out of 10 road games and playing in the last 17 days, that's a gruel of a schedule. Just legs here, I don't know who's going to have the legs and who's going to be available. It's not going to be worth my time to have to try to invest and watch the game to bet an in-game play.
Here's my quick cap of benches, run and gun. You're on the floor. You're getting more minutes, run and gun, right? The Warriors and the Cavs. So the Cavs are clearly out of it. The Warriors, now here's an angle maybe. Draymond talked about he's not interested in playing in a play-in situation, right. So maybe there's motivation for the Warriors to avoid play-in situation. They're laying 6.5, 224.5 is a total.
Or maybe the Warriors just don't care where they're seated as long as they get in, too, right?
That too.
I think here with the Warriors, that's kind of you talked about run and gun. They had open gym last night in Oklahoma City. That's what it's been since OKC shut down Horford, and we know they had a number of injuries. Gilgeous Alexander shut down due to injury. Talk about open run. That's exactly what it is there in OKC. And they Warriors lit it up last night, 147 points at open gym, and they were the king of the courts yesterday in Oklahoma. Oklahoma City going 147. But, you know, it's their third game in four nights, and you kind of look at some of these teams where they're devoid, like the Warriors banged up, right? We know Wiseman is out. They're short bigs. Now they're really short bigs. They weren't a very big team to begin with, so they kind of more so space the floor and open up shooting lanes, and we know Draymond facilitates. But here with the Cavs, maybe it's the Cavs that are fighting to try to say, hey, we're finally getting ourselves back healthy. I know I don't know if Kevin Love is coming back is a good thing. I suspect maybe that's not a good thing he's getting back in the lineup. But Jared Allen getting back into the lineup for the Cavs, I think, is a good thing. And believe me, Pritch, this is a very, let's just call it middle school style offense that we see out of the Cavs, at least what I've seen prior to Allen going out. Now, Allen was out for a while, but basically he just ran around on the perimeter setting ball screens, and it was like old school ball screen and roll, and that's either take it to the cup or lob it up to Allen and let him go up and get it and slam it home. So maybe I was looking and trying to find a prop with, and it wasn't up earlier, for Jared Allen because he's going to get, not that they're going to be the focal point of offense. Jared Allen is not somebody who's going to get the ball and work in the post, but he does run a ton of high ball screens and he does get a lot of action off those lobs. And thinking about the matchup here with the Warriors, third game in 4 days, back on the road again after open gym last night. Didn't have to play a ton of minutes at open gym in OKC last night, did the Warriors, but they're kind of short bigs here, so I'm still digging here, but with the player's prop, looking at Jared Allen, sitting at 13.5 points, that might be a place that I'd look to start with not only points, but also with rebounds. The only concern I think I might have with rebounds is that he's going to get stretched and pulled away from the basket, so maybe not as many rebounds on the defensive end, but I think 13.5 as far as points Francisco. I'd be looking to play over with Jared Allen. Pritch, I think he came back in, felt better than what he expected coming off the long layoff. And just knowing how grade school offense that the Cavs run, I think he's going to have options because I just don't think the Warriors are going to be able to match up. And run and gun, too, like you said, not a lot of defense played. Going to be some opportunities to score. I like Jared Allen as a player prop right there at 13.5. Juice slightly at $1.15 to the over.
All right, great information once again. So, okay, this following matchup is not what it used to be, of course. Talking about Boston and L.A. Now, this one gets interesting to me, James, because the Lakers at home, they are +6. The total, I believe, is 212 in this one. So I'm looking at the injury report. Drummond is on there. Game time decision. Gasol, all these game time decisions, right? And then I look at the starters, and 4 out of 5 are game time decisions. That cannot be correct here when it comes to the Lakers.
Well, and but this is where you're at now. Now, the Lakers just got back from a long 7-game road trip. And, yeah, they are banged up. So sometimes that's been, I'm not going to say an auto fade with teams that have been on a long road trip, just get back home. That first game getting back home, you know, they get back home and you traveled as an athlete. Obviously, football was different than basketball, right? Being gone for multiple weeks like the way they are. But you get back, you got business to attend, personal business you got to attend to. And you know, the Lakers are just trying to tread water and survive until they get LeBron back. And they're in the playoff picture, so their seeding doesn't matter to them. Let's get healthy. But yeah, it's just too hard looking at this lineup for the Lakers, and it's another long laundry list of folks that are all game time decisions or out. And yeah, I mean, we got 6 players that play minutes on the court for the Lakers that are all game time decisions.
Yeah,
tonight.
How can they do that?
And it's key players, right? Schroeder, who's got a pelvis injury, mm-hmm. Interesting, groin injury, whatever that is. Markieff Morris, you got Wesley Matthews been in and out of the lineup. Drummond, game time decision with his toe. I just think there's a lot of distractions when you're gone on the road trip, get back, personal business. Now you don't even know if you're going to play. You're looking ahead. They're looking ahead towards the playoffs here. So who's going to sit here and bang and battle? I know the Celtics are playing better. They were able to beat Denver and Portland on the road the last couple games. And it's really been by Tatum. Tatum's been hooping the last few games. I know he's been talking about COVID and getting back from that, player impacted by that, using an inhaler now that mm-hmm. he didn't have to use prior to COVID. So, but, you know, 38 points per game the last 3 games. Do you lean Celtics here? I don't know. I'd lean probably to say I don't want to play this game.
Yeah, I just don't want to touch this game either. I mean, it's crazy to think about that. Out of the starting 5 for the Lakers, 4 of them, like you said, in terms of minutes even, he got up to 6 players that are game-time decisions. And so how can that be? Maybe their mind are not even going to be in this game, I'm even thinking about this game.
Well, and that's where you can look at, let's jump real quick to the Suns and the Kings. Now, mm-hmm. Suns, big favorite against the Kings. Kings, party's over, lost 8 straight, yeah. And spiraling down, gave up 42 points to the Wiz last night. They're not interested in hooping anymore. But looking at the Suns, I think Monty Williams has been really smart about how he's utilized his bench. And we talked about load management and rest for a lot of players. Doesn't really do that with his players for games. You're sitting today, Chris Paul, you need to sit, back-to-backs, those kind of things. We're going to play. We want to continue the chemistry of what we've been working on, continue momentum. You know, they've won 10 out of 11, played great second half of the season, but he's not benching players. He's not sitting players for the game, but he's going deep into his bench. Basically, Monty Williams has been going deep into the playing 5 guys. He's playing 10 guys pretty regularly, rotation. I think that's load management in a sense of minutes management here. Look at maybe at some props with like a Booker, 27 and a half points, playing the under because he's not going to get as many minutes tonight. Because I think they're going to blow the Kings out, and why would you? Go deep into your bench. Minutes management for a guy like Booker, 27 and a half points. I would be looking to play the under in these situations just because they're not going to have as many opportunities and because they don't need it.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I love the player props in these type of games too. I mean, those are something that you can take a second look at. So, again, great observation, James Salinas. That'll do it for hour number 1. Hour number 2, we start off with more NFL props. That's coming up next.